Today's scripture is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you his holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope he held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
This is one powerful scripture. I think as we read the Bible, they're all important and they're all powerful. But, you know, some things we read and, you know, it just makes sense. It's easy to understand. That you read, for instance, you shall not lie. There's obvious reasons why that would be a good idea in our society. Everybody struggles with that one on occasion, but it's a good idea, and we understand that. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? Again, we might not always live up to it, but we understand that. That makes sense. That's just being a decent person. You don't want to do things to someone that you wouldn't want to do unto you. So a lot of the Bible makes good sense. And then there are those moments that we read something and we say, what? And those are the really fun ones. Don't shy away from those. Those get really fun. God can teach you a lot through those things. And this might be one of those scriptures. This is intriguing. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, people might say, how's that? How is Christ the firstborn of all creation when Christ didn't come around until about 2,000 years ago? And so you had thousands and thousands of years. You had generations of people prior to Jesus being born. How is he the firstborn of all creation? Jesus existed long before his physical body, long before the manifestation of Jesus, the man that was the incarnation of God. Jesus was part of the Father. The thing about God, and this is beyond human comprehension, we all struggle with this one, God is big enough to be singular and plural at the same time. That's crazy, isn't it? God can be singular and plural at the same time. God can be one and God can be three. God can be the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and at the same time be one. He can be singular and plural at the same time. That's impossible in the human mind. God is bigger than us. God is more vast than us. He is beyond our comprehension. We're never going to. If you think you understand everything about God, then you've created your own image of God. If you understand everything about God, if you've got it, if you get it, if you understand it all, then you've created your own image of God, because God is bigger than our understanding. One of the things that's hard for us, God is singular and plural at the same time. And so Jesus existed before everything. He is the firstborn of all creation, and for him in all things were created. Things heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones of or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This gets really important for us. You ever feel like the world's flying apart? You ever feel like everything's just crumbling around you? Those are human emotions, and they're real, and they shouldn't be denied. Everything in our life sometimes feels like it's falling apart. Sometimes the world seems like it is coming apart at the seams. Those are real human emotions. They are real. They are truth. We should experience them. We should deal with them. Sometimes we need help dealing with them. And don't ever be afraid to ask for help dealing with emotional stuff. Don't be afraid of that. But in the spiritual world, it's never falling apart. And this, if we tap into this, this becomes very important. In the spiritual world, Jesus holds all things together. Christ holds all things together because everything was created in him and everything was created for him, and he holds it together. It will not feel like that in our human emotions. Remember, I just said God is beyond our human comprehension, that God can function as singular and plural at the same time. We can't get that because our minds don't work like that. We have little tiny human brains. The same is true in our interior life, not just in our thought processes, in our feelings. It is beyond comprehension sometimes how we can feel like everything is falling apart and yet know in our spirit that because of Christ, because everything in the world, everything in our life, everything in the world, everything that is, was created through him, for him. He exists in all of that. It all comes from his existence, and he holds it together. This is something Christians need to hold to. This is something spiritual people need to hold to, and to hold in that faith that Christ holds this together, even though everything in our human bodies, in our human emotions, will cry out otherwise. There are going to be times that everything seems to be falling apart, and yet in our spirit, we need to tap into that presence of Christ to know those are feelings, but they are not the spiritual reality. Our physical life may not be going the way we want. We may lose people that we love. This life is temporary. People are going to die. We may have financial setbacks. We may have health problems. Those are all physical things. And for all the world, it will seem like life is falling apart. But we have the promise in our spirit that we can tap into the presence of Christ that created us, that created all things, and that Christ holds this together. We need to know both our human emotions and the spiritual reality. I don't want you to deny the physical emotions, the emotional things of being human. Don't deny that. I worked with a guy one time. I've worked as a counselor in a hospital. I have a master's degree in counseling, so I've worked in that profession for a little while. Worked in a hospital, and I met this guy once who had come into the hospital almost comatose. And he was in the inpatient program for a while in the psychiatric facility because there was nothing wrong with him physically. They got him stabilized. They sent him to the program I worked with, which was an outpatient program. And I did his intake interview. And so I was talking to him about his situation. And I said, well, what brought you into the hospital? And he told me that he had lost consciousness. He was almost comatose for a while. And his family was worried about him. And I said, yeah, I'm sure they were. I said, what do you think caused that? He said, well, I haven't done well since my wife died. And he told me about his story of his wife of over 50 years, wonderful, loving relationship. He adored her. And then even though they had lived a long life together, she passed away rather suddenly. It was not expected that she was going to pass. She hadn't been sick. So it was a terrible shock. And I said, well, how have you dealt with that? He said, well, I guess pretty good. I've never cried. I said, what? As a therapist, that sends up red flags. I'm like, you never cried over your wife. And I said, can you tell me why? He said, it comes I'm a Christian. I said, what? Well, what's that got to do with it? Now, he didn't know I was also a pastor. I was working as a counselor in that particular setting, so I didn't tell him my other job. And so I said, well, what's that got to do with it? He said, because I'm a Christian. I need to be patient like Job. Then he never read the book of Job. He might have read the first two chapters. Job grieved terribly. terribly. Read the entire book. It's hard to read. It's in poetry. Hard to read. People read the first two chapters where he does pretty good. They read the last two chapters where he ends up pretty good. They don't read the other 40 chapters in the middle because it's hard, hard ancient poetry. And they don't see the terrible, terrible, terrible grief and pain and suffering that Job went through. So don't deny your human emotions. But at the same time, we tap into something different as a Christian. He almost had it right. It does make a difference when we're a Christian, or at least it can, because we tap into the Spirit, which is Christ within us, who created us, who everything is manifested through the firstborn of all creation. And that means that he holds things together. The physical life will not go as we want it to. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt at times. But Christ will hold it together. Thomas Merton is a famous writer. He was a monk in the U.S. And when he first came to the monastery, he walked onto that campus there at that monastery. And later he wrote, "I'd always wondered what kept the universe from flying apart. And now I know it is this place that is in constant prayer. It is Christ that holds all things together. All things in the universe, all things in our world, all things in our life. It won't feel like it, but it's true." And what we have to do is deal with the human emotions, don't deny those, but continue to tap into a spiritual life that is beyond human emotion, that God in Christ holds everything together. If you start to get that he is beyond just the man Jesus, who is the incarnation of God at a certain time 2,000 years ago, and you start to see that Christ himself is the firstborn of all creation, that everything exists in Christ, and that in Christ he holds everything together in his love, that'll change the suffering of life. It doesn't mean we won't suffer, but it will change the suffering of life. That's why Christians, they still suffer. We still suffer in life, but we don't suffer without hope. We don't suffer hopelessness if we tap into the Spirit, which is Christ within us, that holds everything together. The writer of Colossians goes on to say, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything we might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his faithfulness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself in all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation." Now, if we went around the room, I won't, but if we went around the room and asked you, do you feel holy in the sight of God without blemish and free of accusation? Good chance most people say no, that we don't feel that way. That we're embarrassed by things that we've done, whether recently or in the distant past. There's moments we wish we had over. There's things we wish we could have done differently. There's mistakes sometimes that we know we made and we continue to make them over and over again. And we don't know why, but we keep doing it. There are so many things that we look at ourselves and we think, oh, I'm really far from being free from accusation, from being unblemished, from being holy in the sight of God. It's not about you. It's about Christ, the firstborn of all creation. In his work, in his death and resurrection, he makes us holy in the sight of God. He makes us without blemish. He makes us in the sight of God free of accusation. Again, we're not going to feel that way. We're always going to feel like we could have done better. We should have done better. We're going to be embarrassed by some of the things we've done. There's going to be those moments we wish we had back, those things we wish we'd have said, those things we wish we had not have said, the things we wish we had done, with things we wish we had not done. We're going to have those. God is beyond that. Because Christ is our Creator, Christ is our Redeemer. When the Father looks at us, He sees Christ in us. He sees who we are as we are created to be, not the mess that we create. I'm going to say that again. God sees us as what we're created to be, not the mess we create. Now, He knows it's there, but He already knows how to take care of that. He's already paid the price for all of that. Jesus has given us redemption. Jesus has already paid the price. We don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to have that guilt. We don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops to try to get God to like us. We don't have to go through a lot of rituals to try to make God like us. He already likes us. And I did say like on purpose. Yeah, He loves us. You've heard that before. Yeah, He loves us. He likes us too. He likes who we are. He doesn't like everything we do, but He knows how to fix that. We follow Him, He knows how to fix all of that. He likes who we are. He loves who we are. And He sees what He creates in us. He sees our potential. And He knows the mess we make. He knows how to get us through that if we will just follow Him. And that's what we're told. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. He says, if you continue in your faith, you can opt out. Jesus has already done all the work. Jesus has already done this. He is the firstborn of creation. He did all of this for us, to redeem us, to bring us into relationship with Christ. He already has taken care of all of our sin. We don't have to do anything to make God love us. We don't have to do anything for God to adore us, to enjoy us, to like us. We don't have to do anything for that. God's already there. But we get to opt out of that love if we'd want to. We don't have to follow God. This is not slavery. We are not a robot. We are not forced to be in relationship with God. There is nothing forced about this. This is our option. And so, obviously, many people in the world have opted out. They've chosen other directions, chosen other things. They've gone other directions. And sometimes maybe we do too. Maybe we rebel against God. Maybe we, in our ignorance or in our ego or whatever it might be, we go a different direction. We do things on our own. But Paul says, I've become a servant of God. I've decided to follow God. I'm going to do what He says. Because Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, that everything is held together in Him. And He is the head of the church. This is not just ritual we go through. We are the body of Christ in the world. We are the presence of Christ in this world because Christ is in us as people and as the church. Christ is within us to all the world. And if we stay with Him, and we don't have to, if we stay with Him, we have more than our human emotions. We have more than our human intellect. We have more than just what we feel and what we see. We have a spiritual depth where when things seem to be falling apart, Christ holds things together. That when we are overwhelmed by emotions, our spirit is still strong. When we don't understand God or life or our families or our coworkers and everybody seems to be just losing their mind, God holds all things together in Christ. The story of Jesus is not just about a man who taught a lot of good things and was killed. He's not just a martyr. He is Christ, the living God that permeates all things and holds all things together. If we tap into that, if we are faithful in our spiritual journey to learn more about how to be a spiritual person, then we're still going to have human emotions. But we'll have more than that. We're still going to need to think and be intellectual people, but we'll be more than that. We'll still go through the rituals of the church and celebrate together, but we'll be more than that. We will be Christ in our personal life, in a desperately fallen world. We will be Christ for the world We will be Christ because he created us. He is in us. We are more than only human. We are the very image of Christ for those of us that will follow him.